because it used to be like a holiday celebrating something. Now it's just like a chance to get presents.
Well, that's a different point, right? That sometimes holidays get separated from what they really were instituted for in the first place, right? Yeah. So in this week's Parsha, we find that Hashem tells Adam HaRishon not to eat from the tree, right? Familiar with this? And unfortunately, he doesn't listen. Now, in that command that Hashem gave to Adam HaRishon, the rabbis in the Gemara dissect it word by word. And they find a hint to the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, because if you think about it, there was no Jews or non-Jews in Gan Eden. What was there? No? There was Adam and Chav. Was there any religion yet?
No.
The Ramchal says basically the whole world was supposed to serve Hashem.
Humans
were the chosen people. Yes, humans were supposed to choose. The whole mankind was supposed to do that. Now, we'll fast forward a little bit, and it didn't work out. Adam gets kicked out of Gan Eden. So Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to start again. Can you think of a time period where Hashem says, I'm going to basically create Gan Eden a second time and give all of mankind, every single person in humanity, will have a new chance to serve me? Noach. Excellent. Noach and his children, the Teva, who were tzaddikim, that was a replication, a redo, take two, do-over of Gan Eden. Right? Now, when Adam and you didn't wait till Noach and his sons get out of the Teva. We know that the Chazal teaches that Cham sinned even in the Teva itself. So God says, look, I had an Adam and I had a Chava. Didn't go so well. I waited 10 generations. I started off with Noach and his family. What was Noach's wife's name? Does anybody know? Naamah. Noach and Naamah are actually one of the six couples in Tanakh where their first man and the wife, their names start with the same letter. There's six of them. So Noach and Naamah is one of them. Okay, so Noach and Naamah and their three kinderlachim in the Teva. And it doesn't go so good. So God says, okay, I'm going to give 10 more generations. I'm going to start again. 10 generations after Noach is Avraham. And Avraham is the one who corrects the mistakes of Noach and his generation, who corrects the mistakes of Adam and what he did wrong. And Hashem says, okay, so I tried to get a blueprint for all of mankind who's going to keep my Torah and mitzvot, but it's not realistic. And you could say, well, come on, God, you didn't know it was going to be that way in the first place? But Hashem could say, no, I knew that, but I wanted to show to humanity that, look, I gave everybody a shot.
I'll go turn that off.
It's okay. So what? Okay, Hashem says too. Yeah, beautiful ringtone. Okay, Hashem says. Yeah, okay, back to the story here. Hashem says, okay, I gave everybody a chance to do it, so you can't come and complain and say, oh, only the Jewish people get the Torah. And God gave a divine code of morals to the whole world. That all of humanity, there's seven universal codes of morality, and that's what we call the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Because every single person in this world, Jew and non-Jew, is a descendant of Noach. That's what B'nei Noach really means, right? Jews are also B'nei Noach. But we got an additional 606 mitzvot in addition to the regular seven. So what was your name again?
Margalit.
So you were asking me, if a person converts, so what does that mean? Does that mean they get like a new 613 or they keep a 606? So really the seven mitzvahs that are incumbent or obligated to keep by non-Jews, we also keep them, right? By the way, actually a cute hint to this idea. There was one famous female convert in Jewish history. We read about her on Shavuos. Rus. How do you spell Rus?
Ruth.
Ruth. How? Reish Vav?
Sof.
What?
Sof. Oh,
sorry,
Tav. Fine. I speak Hebraish. I know what you're talking about. Okay. So, Reish is the Gematria 200. The next letter name is a Vav, is Gematria 6. That's 206. Plus the Tav is Gematria 400. So, 200 plus 6 plus 400 equals 606. She took upon herself an additional 606 mitzvot, because she had the seven already from being a Bas Noach. You follow? Do you get that? Okay. Look on the sheets for a second. The first one is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Shevet Mitzvahs Nisav B'nei Noach. There were seven commandments that were given out. I'm translating B'nei Noach means to all of humanity. The whole world was commanded these. Dinim. Dinim means a positive mitzvah to set up court systems. Number two, Birkas Hashem. So we do not want to say the opposite of what it means, but it means blessing God. It's a euphemism. Instead of saying what it really is, it's a euphemism. It means the opposite of blessing Hashem's name. Number three is Avodah Zarah, that you're not allowed to bow down to any idols. Gili Arayis, you're not allowed to have any immorality. No, that's number what? That was number one, two, three, four. Five, Shvichas Damim. What's Shvichas Damim? What'd you get? You guys? Huh? All right, good. Why not? Shvichas damim is murder. Gezel is stealing. And Aver min achai. What's Aver min achai? You cannot eat the limb of a live animal. Now, I know as tempting as it might be if you just to rip off the leg of a rabbit and take a bite out of it.
Very tempting.
I know. I understand that. But it's cruelty to animals. So as tempting as it is to rip off the leg of a rabbit and just take a bite. The whole world is commanded not to be cruel to animals. Okay. So minohani mili, where does this come from? Omer b'yorchlen to Omer kroa v'yetzav v'shelkim el ha'adam le'mor mikol eitz hagan ochel tochel. You can eat from all the trees. Yes, question.
It says, like, you can't eat a limb from a, like, live animal.
Yes.
Why is it, like, so specific and not just say, like, cruel animals?
It could be you could infer that. If I think about the reason behind it, in other words, that I don't have laws of non-Jews have to keep laws of kosher, per se. But if the non-Jew understands, well, look, I'm not allowed to be cruel and just rip the leg off of an animal, so I'm probably not allowed to go around kicking puppies either, because that's not nice, right? I have to be kind towards animals. Right? Now, again, we're not going to go extreme to this, but it means you have to be, you know, okay, kindness, yeah. Question? What's your name again?
Ben.
Ben, go for it.
This is kind of weird. Why only the limb?
It means a part of the animal.
No, but why can't you take something besides the limb?
Like the organ? If you take the organ, it's going
to
die.
You have to get to that organ somehow. So yes, you cannot take the organ of a live animal either.
Why does it only say limb, though? What if I don't eat the limb? Like, what if you just take a limb?
No, you cannot rip off the limb of an animal even if you're not going to eat it. Yes, okay. I don't know why you'd want to do that. I have no desire to rip the limb off of an animal. This is not one of my top 10 Yetzirahs. No, I don't have a Yetzirah to rip the limb. I got plenty of other Yetzirahs, but I have no desire to rip the limb off of a live animal.
No, bro.
Okay. All right, Ben. Yeah, Rachel, what do you say? Wait, Chevra. What?
Does that mean that you're not allowed to buy products that have, like, animal testing?
No, it does not mean that. It does not mean that you cannot buy products that have animal testing on it, and it's a separate topic, but there are times you're allowed to do testing on animals. The halacha says clearly that if certain diseases or certain things like that, it's a side topic, but the post-game, the modern-day commentators discuss about cosmetic testing on animals, medical testing on animals. Maybe we give a separate class on what's called Tsar Balei Chaim. Maybe that'll be next week's Mishmar. We can talk about it then. If you want to do that, we can do that topic as well. I'm very easy going around here. But no, it does not mean, because Aver min achai does not preclude actually doing testing, if necessary, on animals. Aiden. This is your parsha, Gan Aiden, Gewalt. You knew? Pikuach Nefesh overrides everything except for these three of them. So it happens to be those are some of the big three that non-Jews are also, right? Shvichas damim, you can't murder somebody to save your life. Gili Arayis, you can't have an immoral relationship in order to save your life. And you can't, Avodah Zarah, you can't bow down to an idol in order to save your life. But Aver min achai, you could do to save your life.
Wait, what is the second one?
The big three are, you cannot commit adultery, you cannot commit murder, and you cannot worship an idol in order to save your life. So that means if a non-Jew puts a gun to someone's head and says, you bow down to this idol or else, the answer unfortunately is, or else. Jewish history is complete with, unfortunately, terrible stories about this, where they had a choice. They had a cross in one hand or a sword in the other. Right? Are you familiar with the story of the Muranos, right? The hiding Jews in Spain during the Inquisition? That's exactly what it was. They were told, you bow down to it. Now, whether Christianity is considered a Avodah Zarah or not is a machlokis between the Rambam and the Meiri. Nafkamina is whether several million or billion people are Chayiv Misa. That's a big Nafkamina, but okay. Yeah, back to you, Ben.
Two questions, and not that I would do any of this, putting it out. What is it for like a fish? For every
minute. Ooh, fascinating question, Ben. There is no tsar balei chayim for a fish. There isn't. Where this comes up very recently, you know, there is a halacha about that you're supposed to feed your animals before you eat.
Yeah.
You know the halacha?
Yeah.
You're supposed to feed your animals before you eat. You're allowed to drink, though, if you're thirsty before your animals, because we assume for a human it's more difficult to thirst than an animal. But by fish, they talk about, but fish that might not apply, because fish don't have this concept of tsar balei chayim.
So it doesn't matter if you're off.
Like, no, you still... We don't... Well, again, I don't know, Ben. I'm a little bit nervous here. Maybe we have to set, like, a schedule, a meeting with your guidance counselor about, you know, harming animals. What?
I don't know what song. I don't know what you said. I don't speak Hebrew very well.
Oh, so please ask. If I use any Hebrew phrases that you're not familiar, please ask me.
So I don't know what you said.
Tsar balei chayim. Oh, yeah. Okay. Tsar balei chayim means to cause pain to a living animal.
So that's the reason why
we feed animals before we do, because we're afraid. You know, I'm sitting here eating my pizza, having a delicious Subway sandwich or something like that, a big deli or whatever it is, and I'm gonna forget about my animal. So you have to feed your animal before you start eating yourself, because it's a concept of cruelty to animals, not to cause pain to animals.
You should not cause pain to a fish.
Yes.
Can you cause pain to a bird?
I'm not sure. I'd have to research it more. I can look into it and get you an answer. Okay, Chaver, turn to the next page. Just like we have an obligation to teach Jews about their mitzvah obligations, so too the Lubavitcher Rebbe had 10 different mitzvah campaigns. And one of his campaigns was to teach non-Jews about their obligations. Like this gentleman in the video we watched, the Seven Laws of Noah. They have a website, asknoah.org.
He is Noah?
No, Noah lived many years ago.
No, is that guy's name Noah?
No. The Seven Laws of Noah does not mean him. It means the children.
There's also a site called Ask Moses.
Yes, there's Ask Moses, there's Ask... They actually have, by the way, it's fascinating. These non-Jewish groups, they have prayer books. They have Sidurim, where they pray using, you know, following what the laws, these seven laws. I think it's English. Yeah. Let me read to you, on the next page, if you have in front of you, is from a book, a beautiful book I recommend by Rabbi Joseph Telushkin called Revi, about the Lubavitcher Revi. So he writes as follows, I'm just going to read it to you. Bringing non-Jews closer to God was not a goal that would have occurred to, let alone preoccupy many Jewish leaders. Indeed, throughout the Jewish people's millennia-long exile in history, they generally did little to make known the religious teachings to the non-Jewish world. As a rule, Jews encountered so much hostility in the societies in which they lived that the primary hope was simply the non-Jewish world would leave them alone. And so the Jewish people generally made no effort to discuss the notion of God and his demands of human beings with non-Jews. Therefore, when the Rebbe launched his campaign in 1980, I don't think any of you were born in 1980, I know for a fact none of you were born in 1980, when he launched his campaign many, many years ago in a galaxy far, far away to bring knowledge to the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, the Sen Noahide laws to the non-Jewish world, many Jews, particularly in the Orthodox world, were surprised and some were upset that he was doing this. Why are you telling Jewish people to go out and instruct non-Jews about their obligation?
That would be weird.
Now look at this. Look at the next page.
What?
Exactly. This is, yes... Yes. Your question today is what prompted this class. Very good.
Yeah, how do you even bring that up? It's like going up to some random person saying, oh, and not even saying, you have to work with this person.
The witnesses.
Right.
I always just thought it would be like, it would make people who didn't like Jews hate us more. Like, oh, Jews are telling us what to do.
Uh-huh.
They're so annoying.
You'd be surprised. One time when I was in college, a friend of mine took a road trip. We drove from Yeshiva University out to California. And we just took Route 80 and kept on going. That was the whole drive. Route 80. Boom. Okay. And we took these little mitzvah cards with us. And the interesting non-Jewish people that we met along the road, we were giving out these cards talking about the seven mitzvot on them. So we got some very positive reactions, actually. I was surprised. Let me read you the next part. The Rebbe's vision. Yeah, what? Well, Ben, what? I can't say. I can just tell you my own personal experience.
Do people agree with him? Do people do this?
I mean, they're not things that are like
don't. Right. Oh, that's a great point. I probably should have said this at the beginning, but I want to explain to you something very important, and this is like the takeaway from the class. I don't remember the exact number, but I believe you could correct me. You'll Google it later on. I believe there's close to 1,500 different world religions. I might be wrong there, but I think that's what I remember. However, Judaism is different than every single one of them. Because we say you do not need to be Jewish to go to heaven. You do not need to follow our religion in order to get Olam Haba. Every other religion, you must be a follower of theirs. Christianity, Islam, Hindu, whatever world religion there is out there, you must be a member of their faith to get into upstairs with a capital U. We don't say that. We say that Hashem has different roles, responsibilities, and requirements for everyone. Every single one of His creations. This week's parsha, we're all created B'Tselem Elokim, in the image of God, and He has different things He expects. He has a set of requirements of universal morality for everybody, the whole world. That's the seven mitzvot. And He has the 606 for us. I think we're good. Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So they'll log in afterwards, yeah?
We'll do that one
right here, yeah? Okay, let me read you the next paragraph. Hold on, I just want to finish. I'll take your questions, I promise. No, what?
This is what you just said.
Oh, yeah, okay, go.
I just forgot what you just said.
Oh, I hate it when that happens. All right, I'm going to read, and you're going to come back to me with your question.
No. So does that mean that there are no restrictions at all? Does that mean like there are no restrictions just that anybody
owes
that? Does that mean everybody goes?
No matter what they do?
Yeah.
No. It doesn't mean you keep these seven and then you... No. We'll see.
You have to keep the seven now?
Yes. Okay. The Rebbe's vision of how to safeguard the values that defined America and all moral society was best articulated in a speech prepared for the presentation of the United Nations on October 21st, 1987 by Dr. Nissen Mendel, the Rebbe's secretary, and the man in charge of all the Rebbe's English language correspondence. Unfortunately, in the end, the UN speech did not take place. Mendel based the draft of the speech on the Rebbe's teachings, and the speech itself was edited by the Rebbe. All citations are drawn from a copy of the speech that contains the Rebbe's handwritten emendations. Early in the text of the speech, Mendel raised the issue of ongoing problems of lawlessness and violence throughout the world, and then posed the question. This is it. Quote, "Is there perhaps a basic universal moral code that would be acceptable to all nations, all of humankind?" Right. There was indeed such a code. We're talking about a God-given moral code which has served as the foundation of human society from its very inception, the seven Noahide laws. The ordinances that Jewish tradition teaches that God gave to Noah and his children in the aftermath of the biblically recorded flood. These seven laws were to serve as the minimum set of divine injunctions for all of mankind in order that the world not degenerate into a place of lawlessness and violence. And the seven laws of children of Noah are, number one, prohibition of idolatry. Number two, prohibition of blasphemy. Number three, prohibition of homicide. Four, the prohibition of incest. Five, the prohibition of robbery. Six, the prohibition of eating the limb of a living animal. And seven, the institution of courts of justice. So if you think about this, this is a wonderful thing. And it's not the... What's that?
What's blasphemy?
Blasphemy is to curse God.
Oh, incest.
Incest is to have a forbidden sexual relationship. Yeah. So these laws, could you imagine, if you would pause for 1 minute, could you imagine what our world would look like if every single human being on this earth kept these seven laws?
Probably be a better place.
Definitely would be a better place. So as part of our consciousness as Torah Jews is to make the world a better place. So there's nothing wrong and there's everything right with talking about and spreading these ideas and having a friendly conversation with people and pleasantly explaining there is a, Hashem does have a divine plan for everybody. Yeah, last question then we'll end.
What does institution of courts of justice mean?
To make you, a non-Jew, this, the other, out of the seven mitzvot, six of them are negative. Don't do this. But one of them is positive. You must be proactive and actually set up courts that will give people a fair For justice,
well,
yeah.
If you're not a lawyer, like, have
no, not a lawyer. It means you make. You know, you know. There's no mitzvah to be a lawyer.
How can you affect that, though?
You talk to the government.
You have a city hall. You have a state court. You have
you
a Supreme Court.
City hall?
You make a system of justice. Non-Jews have set up justice.
Oh, okay, I forgot. It
is the non-Jews.
Aiden is complaining. Aiden just said, "Oh my God, now Aiden says that I must think that."
And why does it say Sanhedrin 56?
That's the source in the Gemara where it discusses it in the Talmud that discusses these laws. Which in the 11th grade we're learning Sanhedrin this year, but. Aren't you guys in 11th grade?
Yes.
Skip two grades. All right. So come back to me in 2 years when we learn Sanhedrin together, and we will go more in depth in the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. All right. Thank you, everybody, for coming.